B-Pod Studios.
This is...
That's so dumb!
Felger.
Oh, you idiot!
And Nass.
Holy crap!
Felger and Nass.
I hate that.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back. Hour two from the Garden, and we're joined by former Patriots linebacker Ted Johnson. Hi, Teddy.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today? Good to see you, boys.
We are great. I look forward to your Chiefs analysis here, but I know you want to indulge yourself on the Kyrie thing just for a second.
Just for a second.
Because it's rich, isn't it?
It is rich. And I just, before I have to do that, I have to say the last couple of Thursdays has been a joy for me to wake up and get the Mike Felger, Anthony Maserati, Jim Murray, James Stewart
show.
Email chain. It's awesome. And it was particularly awesome today. Must read for anybody in the business. But
that's classified information.
I won't say what I read, but it was great reading for me this morning. But on the Kyrie thing, guys, don't you feel like Kyrie has painted himself in a corner at this point? What, by him coming out and saying what he's done, that he had to consult, you know, the guy, the king, on how to handle these guys, that he's basically, from this point on, he can't talk about bringing in older vets. He can't talk about we need better veteran leadership. He's basically declared himself the guy now, that he's had a moment of clarity, that he's all of a sudden has figured it out, and now he's ready to lead this team. And so once he said those things, and you're a teammate of his, and you hear him say that, now you better back it up, bro. You got to back it up. And it's funny, you know, listening to you guys yesterday, you talk about this is a pivotal game, and I agree. But I think you just said it, Joe Jim. It's like almost, it's like he undid all the good in the game almost. Because if I'm a teammate of his, I'm going, are you kidding me? So I'm not sure how many, you know, questions were answered last night in that game based on just some of those post-game comments by Kyrie. So I just wanted to weigh in on that before we got going.
It's good fodder, Ted. I mean,
it is.
You were in Houston for years, right? So you've got some of this crap. Right?
You know, it
Harden.
Was... Okay, well, Harden, yeah. But, you know, let's face it. I know what you guys think of Harden, but the dude delivers.
He does?
Oh, he does. Okay. Here's the thing about James Harden. And some people might look at it maybe being the problem on this team is before Chris Paul, there was no veteran on the team that was an accomplished veteran that he would look up to. So he was the leader, and he's not a good leader. That's not his thing. He just wants to go play. He doesn't want, Chris Paul comes in. He looks up to Chris Paul. He defers to Chris Paul. Chris Paul's showing him how to play. All of a sudden, he's playing defense for the first time. They're one of the better defensive teams in the league, you know, 2 years ago. And so it's almost like Kyrie almost needs like a Chris Paul. You know, like a guy that he respects, but maybe is past his prime, that is a guy that still can play, it is an accomplished player, but isn't going to take some of that shine away from Kyrie. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So Ted's NBA conversant, just in case you didn't know. Get all that Houston time down there, a lot of hoops down there. Let's talk football, okay? You gave me another 8-point plan for this week. I like it. I'm just going to pick my way through.
Yeah, I just do that so that you pick the ones that you like.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So clear.
Oh, it's like having Bedard in again.
No, but hold on. But this is better. There's no fumbling around. Ted, number four. You say, how do you stop the Chiefs' offense this week? What would you do?
Yeah, here's what I would do. I would go back in time, and I would dust off that 2005 divisional game that the Patriots played the Colts in.
2004 season.
It was January 2005.
20-3 game.
Yep. And it was, we played the Colts. And if you remember the Colts back in 2004, I mean, high flying, right? I mean, they had, oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, not only did they have a killer passing game, with Reggie Wayne and all those guys, and Brandon Stokley was the slot receiver, and Marcus Pollard was the tight end. They had Edgerrin James as the running back, high-powered, put up a ton of points, ton of yards. We held them to 3 points in that game, okay? 3 points in that game, and what we did was, on a bad surface, a finesse team full of speed coming in from the dome, playing on that old grass turf. In 2004, there was still the grass turf. Hit them. We played basically two coverages. The most simple game plan ever. Okay? We ran cover two, and we ran cover four, where we would literally drop eight guys into pass coverage, flood the zones. Peyton had nowhere to go with the football. And the longer he holds the football, the better it is for that defense, okay? Now, here's the thing with Patrick Mahomes. I think you got to do the same thing. Here's the problem with the Patriots, though. That they had these issues early in the season. They don't have them now. They couldn't stop the run. With seven guys in the box, if you're going to play cover two is designed to do what? Take the wide receivers out of the game. The only way, if you have two safeties over the top, it allows those corners to go up there, jam, I mean, harass all day. But you better stop the run with a seven-man front. If you got to bring an eighth guy down, all right, then you're screwed. Then that passing game opens up. And here's the big difference between this game and in the first game. Kareem Hunt's not in this game. That guy was a weapon, right? So you kind of had to really be a little bit more, kind of choosy in which coverages you ran. You had to kind of really mix it up. With Damian Williams, I don't think he's a threat out of the backfield. I think you can stop him running the ball with just seven guys. That allows you to play cover two in the back, allows those corners to play real aggressive, and I think that's what you got to do to stop this game. That was our game plan against the Colts, and we crushed them.
Okay, but you recognize that comparing them to a game plan back in the 2004 season, which was 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The rules are different, Ted. You can't mug them the way you did them.
That's true.
Hell, they changed the rules that offseason because of that game.
That's true. But guess what? If we were playing this game in the regular season, Tony, I'd say, okay. So it's the playoffs. The flags, let's put them away a little bit. There's a little bit more hand fighting, a little bit more hand checking that they will allow and they will extend to these guys. So you got to, and it's kind of what Bill would always say. Test these guys early. See what you can get away with early. Let's see how they're calling the game. And you're right. I mean, you got to be careful to a point. But in that first 5 yards, are you kidding me? Get up there, get in their face, make Patrick Mahomes hold the ball a little bit longer so he doesn't have the timing going. Stop the run with just seven guys. You got to bring an eighth guy down. That's not going to be good. So that's how you do it.
Okay, Ted. Overall, did this team flip a switch?
They did. This is, and I try to compare it to maybe like the old Cleveland Cavaliers and when LeBron was there. It's kind of one of those deals. This team, if you had me on during the regular season, I mean, I was very critical. I was very critical of this team when I watched this film. They sleptwalked through a lot of this season, right? I think there was a ton of just hangover. Whether this is a fun storyline or not to talk about still at this point from the Super Bowl, that thing carried on, man. I mean, Tom didn't show up for OTAs. Neither did Gronk. It was just this kind of dark cloud over this whole season. And here's what happens. I mean, you get two cupcakes to end the season at your home. So the defense figured out what they were needed to do against the Buffalo Bills, okay, in week 16. And then the offense figured out, and you laughed at me, something clicked.
I did.
Something clicked for that passing offense in that Jets game in weeks 16 or 17, excuse me. And so it was like both sides kind of figured it out in those last two games. And then you get the Chargers just coming in worn down, the second time they had to go to the East Coast, just played a game, and you got them at the perfect time. You just ran it up their throats like I thought they needed to do, wear them down early, and that's what they did. So to me, it's kind of been set up perfect. No Kareem Hunt in this game. And another factor too, you guys, do you remember who was playing on this offense when they played Kansas City in week 6? Josh Gordon. And if you go back and look at that game, there's a lot of force-feeding Josh Gordon. Back-shoulder throws, went to him on a fourth down. The timing was off with Josh. Now, he kind of picked it up later in the game and had some more impactful plays. But they were force-feeding it to Josh Gordon early, and I think that threw that offense off a little bit.
Yep.
They don't have those problems anymore. That is over. This offense is hitting on all cylinders. Okay. And they have flipped the switch because you see them now. They're like, oh, man. They're sitting there on that bye week, guys, going, we have two games. All we got to do is win two games, and we're back to the Super Bowl. And now they got their daubers up. It's all about,
What's a dauber?
It's just getting your back up. It's just getting, worked up. Yeah. It's an Iowa thing. I don't know exactly. Well,
I don't call mine my dauber.
It's just getting worked up. And so now they got an edge. They got that chip. They're two games away. Oh, this guy said this about us. That guy said that about us. Okay. And these guys, after I've been done playing, I've kind of found clarity. I don't fall for that banana in the tailpipe stuff anymore.
Oh, my God, but they still
but they fall for it every time.
It's unbelievable.
I mean,
it's like, guys, it's a talk show. Some guy thinks you can do it. The other guy across the desk doesn't. They find it, and they use it to their advantage, Ted. You understand, though, they've never really been a flip-the-switch team.
No.
It's those seasons where they lose in December and they don't have home field, it comes to an end. I mean, that's usually what happens to this team. So if they've flipped the switch, God bless them. It's just they've never really been that kind of team. They've never been that team to go on the road and go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I feel like a little bit different. I feel like championship football is in their DNA. It's so like in their DNA that they can. This team can kind of do it. It's kind of like, holy crap! We got the 2 seed playing like we did this year. The 2 seed. Are you kidding me? It's kind of like you just start to look at the evidence. You go, you got, man, we kind of got these last couple home games here against these cupcakes. You got the Chargers at the perfect time to play the L.A. Chargers, was in that divisional round. And now you got to, you get to go to Kansas City without their best running back, okay, with Andy Reid calling, you know, doing the clock management, with a quarterback that, look, his first two interceptions he threw this season were against the Patriots in Week 6. The kid hadn't thrown an interception. So, you know, against a guy, and Bill Belichick knows how to game plan, all of a sudden it's like, watch these guys go to the big game, and I think they will.
See, I'd play him the same way I played him in Week 6, that amoeba front. I think that's how you confuse Mahomes. That's what I would do.
All right, Teddy's got his Patriots under on, folks.
You does
talk,
he ever.
You want to talk football with Teddy? Here you go. 617-779-0985 to you right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Why do you think you guys have struggled so much on the road this year?
You know, I think I just look at those games individually, and I can, you know, I know why we haven't won those games individually. I don't think it's a, you know, broad sweeping thing. It was a little bit in each game, and the point of that is, it's, you know, this is not the week to have less than our best. So it's a tough game. It's a tough challenge. It's tough to beat the number one seed on the road. I mean, that's the reality. It's just like, we're tough to beat at home when we're the number one seed. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of good football. It takes a great complimentary game. All three phases have to be on point. We're going against a team that score a lot of points. They lead the league in sacks, strip sacks. You know, it's a good group. And I think everybody at every position has to play well. That's what championship games are all about. These aren't just handed to you on a silver platter and, you know, here you go, here's your trip to the Super Bowl. It's, you got to go fight them out. We've been in a lot of games that come down right to the end.
Tom Brady yesterday, do we agree with that first part of his comment? He's asked about the road trouble, 3-5. And his answer is, well, I can tell you individually why we lost those games, but it wasn't a collective issue. Meaning, he's not willing to admit they were a bad road team. Mm-hmm. He's saying, well, we lost week 2 because
right. It
was 90 degrees in Jacksonville, treated like the Super Bowl. We lost week 3 in Detroit because Patricia had all of our signals. And again, I'm just, you know, he's saying...
He's trying to justify it.
Yeah, like each road loss was its individual case, and there's not a trend there with the team being a bad road team. I'll start with you, Maz. Do you believe that?
No, of course I don't believe it, because I think the one common thread in all of that is a lack of mental toughness. I think that when you don't execute in a hostile environment and you don't do things you are capable of doing, it's because you're not responding well to the environment. I think that that's what it is. Now, look, could it change? Of course. Of course it can change. We're talking about the Patriots, for crying out loud. You're talking about Brady and Belichick. Yes, it can change. But based on the track record, see, I think that the consistent thing in all those games is they cracked. The defense, when they went to Miami, was playing great. All of a sudden, they have a horrible game against Ryan Tannehill. How do you explain that?
Yeah.
What, all of a sudden, Adam Gase is Hank Stram? Like you know, it was an Adam Gase game? Like, he's the one that, you know, I don't believe that. I think your players just aren't quite at the same level because they're, intimidated. But it takes mental toughness to stand up to a 70,000 crowd.
Couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you more on the mental toughness part. This team has lacked a lot of it all season. I used in the email I sent you, I used the term sleepwalking. There were times I felt like this team literally was sleepwalking, in particular the defense, okay? But that was then. So we can reference the road record. We can reference how they played on the road all season long, and that's fun to do. I think it means nothing. I don't think it means anything in this game. I really don't, because for the first time, Michael and Tony and Jim, I think they turned a switch on. I think they literally.
Ted, wait a second.
So now this defense is playing at a very high level right now when it wasn't back in week 6.
Okay, but when you say that was then. Miami and Pittsburgh weren't that long ago.
I agree.
Those were weeks 14 and 15.
I agree.
Like, you know, the defense played like garbage in Miami. The offense played like garbage in Pittsburgh. So, like, you know, to me, it's not like we're going all the way back to week six where you say, well, they played Kansas City, but that was eons ago. You know,
what was at stake, though, Tony? I mean, there wasn't a
home field. If they had won one of those games, Ted, they'd be playing in Foxborough this week.
I get it. But I just feel like I just feel like at this point, Tony, the way they've played the last two games, you go, okay, really? Yeah. I mean, I know it's that simple. I've just seen a different team. I've seen a different attitude. They got – all of them have chips on their shoulders right now. I didn't see that earlier in the season. I didn't see that desire. I didn't see that attitude. I just didn't see it. I see it now. It's right there. They're locked in. That bump back that we had with Tom – locked. He's locked in, guys.
The bump back made the CBS walk-off interview.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks we suck.
Oh, man. Perfect. That sells in that locker room. It's hard. It's crazy. These are grown men, and we fall for it every single time, man. Right? It's like humorous to the rest of us out here now, but that's the way it is. I know they haven't had that switch they turn on, but, Mike, I think they found it, and I think the last two games set them up for that performance against the Chargers, and I think it's set them up for success in this game.
All right, they had it Sunday, there's no doubt.
Let's talk to some of the people. Rocco and Saugus, go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, listen, I want to talk about the road games and the AFC championships with the Patriots, but also I want to talk about quick what you said with the Chiefs. Listen, how do you not know that the Chiefs have the edge? You know what I mean? They didn't have Houston and Barry the first game that they played, so how do you know that they just can get tired of the Patriots standing in the way? I just feel like the Chiefs have the edge, and I also want to talk really quick about the Patriots, the road games. Since 2005, even if you don't include the Super Bowls too, something quirky always happens on the road. So history shows the Patriots on the road, it's just not really good. If it's an interception or a safety or a missed field goal or not putting Butler in, something quirky always happens. So how can I really truly pick the Patriots over the Chiefs this week?
I'm with you. I'm not dismissing the road thing till I see it. What do you feel about the Chiefs?
Look, I think they're an exciting offense. I think it's very difficult offense to stop. Their defense is just right? I mean, they have a few good players in the positions that matter the most in pass rush,
yeah.
Right? But is it a team that the defense that you can move up and down the field on? And then once you get to the red zone, you get inside that 20, it's basically like here's 7 points. I think they're one of the worst, if not the worst, red zone defense in the league.
They were 31st against the run in yards per carry.
Yeah, yeah.
They gave up 19 rushing touchdowns, I think it was.
Yeah, so and nobody knows how to kind of break the game down in its little segments. I didn't know what the hell situational football was until Bill Belichick came to the Patriots. Oh, okay, so like third down, it's its own little thing? The red zone is its own little thing? Oh, hey, 2 minutes? Okay, yeah. And nobody knows how to game plan in those specific situations in a game better than Bill Belichick. So I just think they can. There's a lot of things that they can do to exploit. I really do. So
okay. we've got Jim in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Jim. What do you got?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the pass rush that Ted was just talking about because it was such a bad call roughing the passer against Phillip Rivers. How are they going to contain this McCombs?
Okay.
He's Irish all of a sudden.
That was a good call on Rivers. Meaning it was on, was it on Flowers or
Trey Flowers, Wise? I think.
It was Flowers.
The one down at the legs?
On his knees?
Yeah. He hit him low.
That's the rule. You say it's a bad rule, but he hit him right on the knees.
I mean, once you see the quarterback's legs kind of buckle like that, right, you know you're going to get called.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good call. Stupid rule. Good call. How about the Irish kid who plays quarterback?
Okay.
My father used to pitch for the Red Sox in the late 90s, he did.
You know how you stop that? You know how you stop the pass rush? Real quick. You know how you Patriots stop that?
You run at it?
Yeah. I mean, you do what you did. You neutered those pass rushers for the Chargers.
Okay, did you? So you're big on this.
I'm huge on this.
21 personnel is going there with the fullback and established the run. You believe this crap.
You see what that crap's doing?
I don't think
that crap's working.
I don't think that's what happened last week.
That was the key to the whole game.
I don't agree.
Okay, so.
Do you want to get a little game?
This offense got its ass going running the football with 21 personnel. Two backs, one tight end. That's the offenses back in the 80s. You know, it's working, Mike.
I'm going to steal Paul Perillo's line. They ran the ball like they did because Brady threw for 350. It starts with Brady. And on that first drive, It started with Brady throwing for first down, converting those third downs with short passes. Yep. And the first, you know, handful of running plays, three, four running plays, did jack.
Wow, a lot of third and short, right? I wonder why. Because they were good on first and second down running the football. I mean,
it's not really what happened.
I feel like a lot of times it's the run that sets up the pass, not the other way around.
No, it's that. That was your league. This is a new league. Really, it's a new league. But, I think if your team runs to set up the pass, you suck. You're the Cowboys.
You win a game here and there doing it that way?
Yes, here and there.
Yes,
here and there.
Yeah, you don't need to go to it all the time, but in the playoffs. Okay, when you have an opponent that is beaten down and worn down from the game prior and the travel, you run it at them, you beat them down.
Do you think the fact that they played 6 and 7 defensive backs had anything to do with
that? That was. Are you kidding me? I don't get that. You're right. That's
a big factor.
That was. So the ineptitude of the coaching always plays a factor in these games as well. We all know that. I mean, it was shocking.
So look,
didn't it remind you of the Steelers playoff game a couple years ago?
They come in, we're going to do what we do.
Soft zone.
Even though you torch what we do, we're just going to do what we do, and we're not going to change it. It's unbelievable.
Idiots.
The coaches that think to themselves when they get down to game plan on Mondays and they say, you know what? Screw the Patriots. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do what we do.
Well, yeah, I think it's done.
I'm like, done. Done from Monday. Done. Hey, you know, we're going to do what we do. We're going to do what got us here. That's my favorite. Thank you, Mike March, for thinking that way. Thank you, Kyle Shanahan, for thinking that way. You're going to do what you do, huh? Okay. Good luck. See what happens.
I'll tell you what. I wouldn't run at Chris Jones. 6'6", 310. You know what that is?
Ah.
That's Seymour. 6'6", 310 is Richard Seymour. You're going to run at that guy?
You run right at him. You power run right at him, just like you did. You know how the Texans slow down J.J. Watt? They run the power Bob-O. They run counters. They run counter OUs. They double team, and bring guys right around and put – and that'll wear Chris Jones out. That's how you stop it.
Here's what I'll say about your running game. At least it's good enough now to compliment Brady. I think there's some years where – Brady would soften up a defense. You'd have running situations or, you know, opportunities to run, and you couldn't run because you just weren't a good running team. Now you're definitely a good enough running team to, if the opponent goes light or lays back and they invite you to run, you can now run it.
And I don't want to misconstrue this, guys. This team's passing game is going to be the reason they win the whole thing.
Thank you.
They figured it out in that Jets game. All right, but it's nice to have that offensive line. Creating those holes for that running game because it complements the passing game.
Dominic in Southbridge, go ahead.
Hey, you know in Green Bay they've got those like the heated coils underneath the field?
Yes.
Do they have that in Kansas City?
Yes.
So, I mean, how does that impact the sort of the chilly temperatures? Not exactly.
Okay, Ted.
I think that's a good question.
Okay, you've played a lot of these. Go ahead.
All right, here's the thing about the heaters under the field. When I was playing in Foxborough, when it was grass field, they had heaters on the field. But the heaters only were in the middle part of the field, okay? The heaters weren't on the numbers and outside the numbers. So when we talk about all these external elements to the game that's so boring to talk about, field conditions, weather, travel, et cetera.
No, we actually like it.
Okay. Because I made my entire argument over the Patriots winning last week based on external factors.
I know. I was wrong. I was wrong. All right. I was wrong.
God, that feels good to hear you say that. But here's the thing. So what we would do, we made a game plan. We didn't run any place to the perimeter. We ran them all right down the middle where it was a softer. It wasn't slick on the outside. And so that was advantage Patriots, just knowing the field conditions. I don't know if it's the heat coils cover the entire field. I didn't see a lot of guys flipping in the game last week. I mean, the turf looked like it was pretty beat up, and I think they put some new sod down this week.
They did, yes.
They did.
So it could be a factor, and who does that benefit?
Patriots.
Okay.
Why?
Why?
I get the feeling everything benefits the Patriots.
Oh, well, for him, yeah, but I said this yesterday.
Okay, but I was just right about last week, so gave like,
I'm giving it to
so
you.
So they went back to that. Again, let's go back to that game plan from 2004. Dust it off. Bring it down. The high-flying Colts, okay, playing here against in the divisional round against us on a very slow track. It was muddy. It was slow.
Did you leave the sprinklers on overnight?
You know, I think it could have been a possibility, Mike. I don't know about that. The sprinklers might have been left on overnight by accident. So it creates this kind of like really just slow track. That benefits the more. So the speed finesse teams, how do you counter that? You hit them in the mouth. And you're physical with them. And the referees in the playoffs like to swallow their whistles a little bit. And that's, again, I just see that as being an advantage to the Pats.
Real quick. at what point does a football game become too cold where it's impacts the play and is really a factor? 15, 5, 20, you tell me.
Yeah, I would say anywhere like 10 or below is it really kind of makes it an even playing field. You know, and it becomes, you know, if the win chill are like single digits or around zero, look, that's going to affect the team, okay? And it's going to take football back to when I played. I played in a conference called the Big Eight. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it.
Of course.
Big Eight.
Back in the
right?
day.
I didn't know what a forward pass was until like Chad May came to Kansas State. I was like, what? What is this? Right? And so it's going to be like that. I think it's just going to turn into who's tougher, who's more mentally tough, who can execute, who cannot make the mistakes. When it's like 10 or below, it literally becomes like who makes the least amount of mistakes and who's tougher and more physical and who wins the line of scrimmage.
And who's going to win that? And when it comes to that, who's got the edge?
It's the Patriots.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
It's the Patriots.
Here comes Murray's update.
It's refreshing to have you on the show.
We're back with more Ted Johnson right after this.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think the weather doesn't make any difference in how these fans are going to come out this weekend, honestly. I mean, I know this stadium's going to be rocking, and I know these fans are going to enjoy this as much as we are, trying to go out there and win the AFC and bring that Lamar Hunt trophy back.
Pat Mahomes, Maz, you love him, but well, why do you love him?
I just think he's
easy
got,
to like.
Yeah, look, he's got some humility. He's humble, and for a guy who has been in the league 2 years and really has been playing one. Okay, he's played 1 year. I think there's a level of maturity there with this kid that's unique. You know, he's not your typical young, like dumb, you know, inexperienced quarterback. He's just not like this kid's got perspective.
He's got balls too.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's like you forget the Patriots were up at halftime in week six, 24-9, I think was the score. And he came roaring back. I mean, he made it a game. So it's like, yeah, I see your five banners. Yeah, I see we've spotted you almost 20 points. Let's see what happens in the second half. So the kid's got some balls too, man.
Okay. How about Arrowhead? You played there a bunch.
Yeah. It is a tough place to play. It is a unique place. They have all the little chants and the rituals that they do, and it's tall red, yeah. And it's loud. But I played them in 2004 down there. It was a Monday night game, I believe, and I think we handled our business pretty good. Look, you know how you get these crowds to make be a non-factor, get on them early. Okay, like so, I played two AFC Championship games on the road.
Pittsburgh and Indy.
Pittsburgh.
2001 and 2004.
2001 and 2004, and there was a moment. Okay, in that, let's go to that 2004 game, that AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh, 2004, where the Steelers they won the coin toss. They were driving down on us pretty good. They get to our 30-yard line, 35-yard line. You know what they decided to do on 4th and 1?
Well, this is when they called the timeout. You went and talked to Bill. Bill told you what they were going to run, and you stopped them. I know this very well. Bill had the other team's plays.
I don't know anything about that. I don't know what you're talking about. But point is, we stuff them. That's a nice little side note there, Michael.
That's what happened. I remember there was a timeout, and he called you over. It was you talking to him. Is that right?
I think.
Oh,
so.
Come on!
I think so. Okay. All right. So point is, we stop him, and we stopped the entire momentum of the game. Okay. It was like that was their moment to just pounce on us, and it went the other way. And you know what? It took the crowd out of it. I don't remember the crowd being a factor in that game at all.
Okay, what if it goes the other way, though? What if they get off to a good start?
Yeah.
And then what are you dealing with there from a opponent's standpoint?
Then buckle up. You got a game. You got a game. And so I think, what was it, the 2015 championship game when the Patriots went to Denver?
Yeah.
You know, Denver was hitting him in the mouth early in that game, right? I mean, it was on him. So the Patriots never really got going in that game, if I remember correctly, early.
Right.
The best thing you can do on the road in a hostile environment is jump on those guys fast. Get on them fast and then make them play from behind.
I'm sorry, Mike. Do you think Bill takes the ball then this week? If he wins a toss, do they take the ball?
Ooh, that's a really great question. I'd do the same thing. I'd do the same thing. And so, Patriots win, you defer? No. We'll take the ball. Oh, yeah. 2 weeks in a row. Bring in the hammerhead. 21 personnel. Here we go.
Ted, would you like to talk to Carlton or Norwell, perhaps?
Sure, Carlton.
Well, he's actually in Tampa now. He's retired. Go ahead, Carlton. Okay. What do you got?
This game is such a mismatch with that savant Belichick going against that dolt Andy Reid. You just watch what Bill does. It wouldn't surprise me if Bill sits both Gilmore and Jackson to unsettle the Chiefs receivers, because Bill's so good at sitting his star cornerbacks in big games. Bill might even put Gronk back there to bat down those Mahomes bombs, because, you know, the Chiefs just aren't that fast, and Bill knows that, too. It wouldn't even shock me if Bill dared the Chiefs to run every single play, because it worked so well against the 1990 Buffalo Bills, and when Bill reversed course and decided to run every play against the 2015 Dolphins. And if Bill gets the up by 14 points early in this game, that savant will have Ebner squib kick the ball onside to catch those stupid Chiefs unprepared.
What's your point, Carlton? What's your point?
Well, I just think this is just such an enormous mismatch, you know. I don't even know why the Chiefs even show up, but at least we have the consolation of watching Felger ball gag in the corner of the 98.5 studio on Monday. That
is a silver lining.
He's coming unhinged.
Yeah, he's coming unhinged.
He's gasping for air.
But let me try and just bring it back to play. He's saying Bill's had his bad moments in some of these big games, and he's not as infallible as we'd give him credit for. Okay.
Yes, that is true. I think he'd want to do over in that Super Bowl last year, for sure. Yeah, he's not perfect, but man, he's let's face it, he's a lot better than a lot of these NFL coaches they roll out there. And you know what pressure does to a man? Okay, there's Andy Reid. My last game ever as a Patriot was the Super Bowl 2005, playing the Eagles. I don't remember exactly how far they were behind. It was a two-minute situation at the end of the game.
Were you out there when Don McNabb was puking, or were you on the sideline?
I was on the sideline, Mike. And I'm thinking, yeah, no. At that point, I was strictly a two-down linebacker. I'm like, he's throwing up. This dude is lit. And he denies it. He denies it. I saw it. He puked. And I thought to myself, we're going to win the game. But besides that, it just that whole two-minute offense to Andy Reid, no sense of urgency. They were huddling like a muddle huddle. Just, I was shocked. All right, I was shocked. I think Patrick Mahomes might be a little bit better, you know, at maybe navigating that. But it's still Andy Reid calling the plays. And is he still capable of just peeing down his leg in a pressure point situation
in
a game?
Of course when he is.
It's all on the line. You're damn right he is.
Wrap it up with your calls for Ted Johnson, 617-779-0985, right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Bill, the forecast for Sunday is temperatures in the single digits, wind chill below zero. How does that impact preparations for the game and perhaps playing out the game?
Yeah, we're getting ready for the Chiefs, whatever it is.
Do you mind playing in severe cold?
Love to play in a championship game. Schedule whatever you want. We'll be there.
Does it change the play calling? Does it make it harder to throw?
I don't know. It's Wednesday. We'll see what happens Sunday night. Right now, we're getting ready for the Chiefs.
There's your guy, Teddy.
Giving you nothing.
Full on.
Snot rockets everywhere. Dude, seriously, it's like the 4th of July fireworks show with him and the snot rockets.
Do you think he feels it comfort up there? Do you think that's like he's just like, oh, this feels so... Or do you think he's like on edge? Because he clearly comes across as very uncomfortable answering these questions. I think he bathes in that. What would be uncomfortable for us is like, oh, it feels good.
It does.
Nobody feels more comfortable with uncomfortable silences than Bill Belichick. I mean, he's the king of throwing something out and then just sitting back and waiting for you to just, you know. He's the best at it, man. He thrives in that environment, you know.
Okay, so if the game's going to be in the teens or even the low 20s, you know, the last I saw was a low of 21, which, you know, I'm not taking back yesterday's show. I had too much fun talking about it.
What's the demarcation line for whether the weather is going to be a factor?
Right.
Below 20,
right.
It's a factor. Above 20, it's not a factor.
I mean, I think if it's below 10, I agree. Single digits, you're talking something else. But if it's, like, I thought last week, weather was not a factor. Maybe it impacted the Chargers because they're, you know, they're Sally's. But like, all things being equal, last week was not a weather game. If it's 20 and no wind... It's not really a weather game, is
it? Right. It shouldn't be. The weather shouldn't be a factor if that's the case. Wind, maybe. You know, right? If there's wind. But you can still, I think, run a high-level offense in 20-degree weather. I do. And this offense, which particularly its passing game, is more about short little dump passes. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of dress-up. You know, a lot of magic, and then it's just like a little ding, ding.
Well,
hit the edges, just throw it out to the flat.
Let me ask something, because we talk about this a lot. I want your opinion. If you played the Patriots, if you were the defensive coordinator facing the Patriots, how would you play them? Because here, I mean, let me give you mine. And
I got an answer for you. Go ahead.
Okay, I mean, to me, it starts with taking away Brady's comfort zone, taking away his security blankets. I start with James White and Julian Edelman. Okay, I start with those two, and then whatever pass rush I have, I make sure it's up the middle and not on the edges.
Yep.
And so I get in his face, even if I can't get to him. Like the Jones kid is, I think, a perfect example. I plop him right in the middle and have him try and bat down all those passes like he did last week. But I put whatever I've got for a pass rush in the middle, and I start with pounding man-to-man Edelman and White at the line and taking that away. And that means I'm putting my third corner on Hogan or Dorsett. I do it. I say, Tom, if you're going to beat me, you're going to beat me outside to those guys. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Gronkowski, I don't know where I am with him, right? Am I still focused on him or not? But I start with that. Paul Perillo said to me yesterday, well, James White only gained 5-6 yards a catch, so you really contain him. It's about tackling James White. But I don't agree with that because I think just completing that gets Brady in the rhythm.
It does.
And gets, consecutive completions and all of that. And if it's 3rd and 4 and he's picking up 5 yards to White, well, that's not a win. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting with those two things and all my pass rushes up the middle.
All right. Here's the game plan I would do for Tom. And those are all – you're absolutely right, though, Mike. It was the game plan – one of the best game plans I've ever seen against the Tom Brady team was the Denver game, AFC Championship game in 2015. Wade Phillips used to be the defensive coordinator for the Texans. Remember what the Texans would do when they'd come up here?
Blitz the crap out of them.
Every time.
Stupid.
Cover one. All right. Rush 5 guys. Man up. Single high safety. Oh, just ate them apart. You're going to be in cover one again. Hey, Tommy, it's cover one. Oh, know what to do here, coach. Like, picked that team apart. Man to man, man to man. All right. Well, so wait a minute. I thought – zone isn't good to play against them either. We saw that last week. All they did was play zone, and they just got dink and dunk. You can't play one or the other exclusively.
You got to go back and
forth.
You
better mix up your coverages. Wade Phillips, for the first time in his life, mixed up his coverages against the Patriots when he was the D coordinator for the Broncos in 2015, and it had him confused. You know what you do? You're on that amoeba front against him on third down, okay? And you confuse. So you have to pick your spots when you're going to rush, Tom. And you're going to blitz, Tom. You don't want to do it too much because typically he'll kill you. But he hasn't been good against the blitz this year, Ted. Yeah. Oh, he's a different guy now. This offense is a different offense now. I've been trying to tell you guys that the last few weeks. And so You have to be very physical at the line of scrimmage. Kelce, you know what Trey Flowers did in that game against Kelce in week six? Hit him, then rush. Hit him, then rush. A lot of these linebackers, they'll be out on slot receivers. They'll hit them, then they'll rush. It's more about disrupting the timing of Tom's than it is to get to him.
Okay, so I understand mixed coverages. I think you've got it. I take away the underneath and make Brady throw to the second level if I possibly can. You know, and so it's mostly, to me, press man. I think you've got to. You just can't let Julian Edelman run six-yard little option routes in front of linebackers because they'll do it all day long and paper cut you to death.
Yeah, press man with maybe two guys over the top.
Fine.
If you do that, then, you know, that's where you go to the running game, you know. And then, okay, oh, they can't. Look, the Chiefs couldn't stop the Patriots' offense running game in this last game with eight guys in the box. They couldn't, all right? And so, and this is a much better offense this time around. So, I think this offense is going to have its way with this Kansas City defense. Patriots, I really, really do.
Patriots will take the run too, right? I mean, the slower the game is, the more they can keep the Kansas City offense off the field. Because there's no way that Belichick can't be vain enough to think that if Kansas City offense is out on the field for 35 minutes to hold them to 24 points. No way. You got to keep the ball too.
So, Ted, you are high on the Patriots this week.
In the last 2 weeks. You know, if we would have talked, you know, weeks 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, I might be a little bit different. But something clicked. I saw it in the last couple of games, and it's just been set up perfect, you guys. Two cupcakes. Get yourself back on track. The offense got to, 2 weeks in the regular season without Josh Gordon. And Josh Gordon, I know he hasn't. Look, this is a better offense without Josh. They're not forcing it to him. I mean, Philip Dorsett, all right, he's a nice player in this offense if they just use him. I mean, he's kind of like, dude, I've been the same player all season long. You just haven't used me. Now they're using him, and these backs out of the backfield, you know, and I put Cordell Patterson in that, even though he was a non-factor last week. You know, and Rex Burkhead, it was, you know, he had a couple of nice plays. But all these guys, they got in the backfield. And now that they're distributing the ball more evenly later in the season, it all bodes well for the Pats.
Ted, thanks for coming by again, man.
You guys, my pleasure. I love it.
Appreciate it, Ted.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
Win or lose next Thursday, we'll do it. Okay?
Count me in.
And then, you know, who knows for the Super Bowl. But, again, right. Ted Johnson, thanks for coming in, man.
Guys, love you guys.
All right.
I'll see you later.
Okay,
see you later,
Ted. 90 seconds, folks. No commercial. We didn't take many calls that segment because Ted was in for most of it. I promise. To your calls. There's a couple open lines at 617-779-0985. Load them up. We'll get right to you after Murray's 90-second update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.